This week on Come Receive the Light, we have our annual Paschal message, plus an unusual look at what one of the miracles of Jesus can say to us today.
What if I say the wrong thing? What if the world comes to an end? What if? And then what happens, we allow the what ifs to take off, fueled by the evil one and all its insidious responses to the what if and if then. If I had a better parent, I would be better off. If I had more money, then. If I went to another school, then. It's almost like we spend so much time in the future with anxiety with the what-if question, or we get stuck in the past in if-then, and we can't live in the moment.
Our Lord's glorious resurrection brought hope to Mary Magdalene, but our church knows that it brings hope to all of us today. By rising from the dead, he showed that death has no power over us. Instead of being doomed to death and sin, we hope for the future. That day, Christ opened the doors of paradise to us, and by this act, he gives us the hope that we can one day join him there.
Welcome to a very important edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And I say this is an important broadcast primarily because of the glorious message Father Chris will share about Christ's conquering of the grave and what that should mean to each and every one of us. Also, I'll play for you just an excerpt from a conversation about what the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead can say to us about overcoming those things in our own lives that bring destruction and death. I hope I've caught your attention and piqued your interest enough for you to stick with us. This may be the most important 26 minutes of your life. Sound like hyperbole? Well, stay tuned and find out. Come Receive the Light is one of many ministries produced and provided by the nonprofit outreach called the Orthodox Christian Network, or OCN, looking at life from all angles and through the life-changing lens of the Orthodox Christian faith. More information about OCN can be found on our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Well, if you've never been in an Orthodox church, or any church for that matter, let's just create a word picture here. Walk with me across the porch, in the main entrance, through the narthex, and into the nave, where Father Chris is about to begin his Easter or Pascha message.
Together we have progressed through Holy Week, and we have taken in all sorts of words, tastes, sounds, and images. Words like those spoken by Judas when he betrayed his master. Tastes like the Last Supper of our Lord on Holy Thursday. Sounds like those that echoed through the city of Jerusalem. Sounds of the crowds crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And images of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ facing the trials of Pontius Pilate and of the Jewish high priest. Images of him carrying his own heavy cross to Golgotha. Images of him enduring the mocking, the spitting, and the scourging. And images of our Lord breathing his last earthly breath, hanging on the cross, and then buried in the tomb. But picture another image. Picture the image of a woman weeping outside of a tomb, weeping inconsolably, weeping with nothing and no one to comfort her. She is weeping because she, too, has taken in all of these words and sounds and images. But for her, these experiences are so much stronger, so much more intense, because she faced these images in real life. She is weeping outside of the tomb because she has no hope. She has no joy. She has no future to look forward to. The Gospels tell us that Mary Magdalene had been with Jesus throughout his ministry, and that she had been healed by his command. She was loyal to him, listening to his teachings and following him from city to city. Mary Magdalene even followed Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem, a difficult 80-mile trip. After Jesus was arrested and put on trial and crucified, Mary Magdalene stood with Jesus' mother at the foot of the cross. And after Christ had died and been taken down from the cross, Mary Magdalene was still with the Lord at his burial. And she is seen in the Gospels sitting outside of the tomb. But here we see her weeping. After all this buildup, after years she had spent listening to the Lord, witnessing his miracles and learning the truth from him, he is now gone. After this past week of horrific images, she is weeping. Her Lord Jesus Christ is gone. He has died. It is over. And to make matters worse, she thinks to herself, somebody may even have stolen his body. The enemies couldn't even leave her with that small comfort that she could care for her Lord by sprinkling myrrh around his tomb. The tomb was empty, and she was left with nothing. The tomb was empty, and her heart was empty too. It is easy to relate to Mary Magdalene weeping outside of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. The world relates to her because too many people in this world also feel a great sense of emptiness. They feel their Lord is gone, that he has abandoned them. They have no hope, no meaning in their lives. I am speaking of the people whose children have died and they feel as if their hearts have been torn out of them. People whose marriages have fallen apart. Young people, teenagers, whose parents have abandoned them as they proclaim they are leaving to seek a new, more fulfilling life with someone else. People who are suffering with chronic illness who wonder when will their relief ever come. People who are alone whose spouses are no longer with them. Young people who are searching to find that perfect spouse. Young students who are in college searching to find a career of fulfillment. People who are sick and suffering, hungry, no home, no food. Older people who live alone and have absolutely no companionship. People whose children are apart from them and are now in our armed forces, and they worry about their safe return. You see, my dear friends, emptiness surrounds us all. Even Pascha, the most glorious day of the year, can still feel empty when Christ is gone, when he is out of the picture. A parishioner described to me this image that she saw on Western Easter a few weeks ago. A man was dressed up in a bunny costume, and he was standing outside of a car dealership waving to cars that were driving past. Pascha might have been just another day for overtime and work. Or how about another true story? A child is asked how she spent Easter, and she responds excitedly, "I got a new Nintendo." Pascha for her might even have meant another day of just presents, like a mini birthday or a mini Christmas. For her parents, Pascha might have meant another day to just buy gifts. Or how about the many people for whom Easter just means a different shade of M&Ms or a different kind of chocolate, jelly bean, or sweetbread? In our own Orthodox Church, we have many, many beautiful traditions, and each one of them has a deeper meaning that is good when we make the connection. But what happens when these traditions are all there is, and we forget why we're going to all the trouble? You know, I'm speaking of the roasted lamb, the Easter lilies, the red eggs, the sweetbread, and the beautifully decorated candles. Even our own traditions can become empty when we forget the richness of this special feast. How empty even Pascha can be when Christ is gone. Remember Mary Magdalene weeping outside of the tomb? She was doing that because Christ was gone. But do you remember also how quickly Mary Magdalene's tears turned to joy when she saw the risen Christ? As she looked into the tomb and she saw two angels in white, and the angels asked her why she was weeping. Then Mary turned around and saw Jesus, and she didn't recognize him. Only when Jesus called her by name did Mary recognize her Lord. Finally, she understands what the empty tomb means. She understands that the tomb is empty of the Lord's body, but it is full of hope. It is full of joy. It is completely full of meaning. And Mary Magdalene goes out proclaiming this good news to the other disciples. Her life is once again full of meaning, full of joy. Our church tradition tells us that Mary went on to become one of the most determined messengers of the gospel, and the church even gives her the title of equal to the apostles. Because of the empty tomb, she was filled with joy and with hope, and this joy propelled her forward. It propelled her to spread the good news to everyone who would listen. Our Lord's glorious resurrection brought hope to Mary Magdalene, but our church knows that it brings hope to all of us today. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, called to be saints, the empty tomb of Christ speaks to you. You who have lost children to death, fear not, for your child is with God in the kingdom of heaven. You whose marriages have fallen apart, fear not, for I will give you strength and direction. You who have been abandoned by your parents, fear not, for I have not abandoned you and will give you courage and the warmth of my embrace. You who are suffering with chronic illness, fear not, for through your suffering you shall find your salvation and faith. You who are alone, whose spouses are with the Lord, fear not, for I will give you comfort and fill your days with gladness. You who struggle alone, as young people searching to find a spouse, don't be in such a hurry. Trust and believe, and you will find direction. Use your judgment wisely and be discerning. You who are in college searching to find a career of fulfillment, I know there are many choices you have in your life. Be humble, pray, do your best in school, and direction will come to you. And you who are sick and suffering, fear not, for I am here to comfort you, to bind your wounds. You who are hungry, fear not, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find good souls who will offer you food. You whose children are part of our armed forces, you who worry about their safe return, fear not, for your children are in my hands. No matter what happens, they are with me in their noble service to our country. Emptiness surrounds us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead and brought hope for the entire world. By rising from the dead, he showed that death has no power over us. Instead of being doomed to death and sin, we hope for the future. That day, Christ opened the doors of paradise to us, and by this act, he gives us the hope that we can one day join him there. We have no reason to weep as Mary Magdalene wept outside of the tomb. This is because life is not over at death. Our Lord is still with us, and the life he has prepared for us is far greater in glory and perfection than anything we could imagine on this earth. He is here to help us in our struggles. He is here to show us mercy and to lead us to salvation. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and now is risen. The tomb is empty, and our lives are full of joy, hope, and meaning. Now we live with the hope of the resurrection and life, the hope that our new, perfected life begins with death. On Holy Friday evening, and on each Sunday morning during the Matin service, we hear beautiful words of the resurrectional hymns called the Evlogitaria. Listen to some of these words. Why do you mingle the ointments with your tear full of pity, O women of disciples? Thus the angel who was shining in the tomb cried to the myrrh-bearing women, see for yourselves the empty tomb and understand that the Lord has risen from the sepulcher. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us also see that special image of the empty tomb. Let us understand what it all means, what our Lord and Savior did for Mary Magdalene, and what he did for you and me. Yes, all of creation. He has risen, and by his love and sacrifice for us, he has made our lives full again. We have been given this day, the glorious day of Pascha, not just to remember the resurrection. We have been given this glorious day to celebrate the resurrection. It is a celebration of the empty tomb that took away our emptiness, the empty tomb that made our lives and our future full again.
Come receive the light from the light that is never
You're listening to Come Receive the Light with Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to hear that message again, go to our website at myocn.net. Click on the Listen button and choose Come Receive the Light, or CRTL. That's myocn.net. Well, in our last few minutes together, I'm going to share just a portion of a conversation Father Chris had with Father Tom Tsakalakis. I don't say that as well as Father Chris does. Father Tom is from Holy Apostles Greek Orthodox Church in Shoreline, Washington, and Father Chris spoke with Father Tom recently about the story of Jesus raising Lazarus and how that miracle speaks to us today in some unusual ways. Lazarus is referred to in a number of places in the New Testament, and I'll read just a bit from the account in the 11th chapter of the book of John, starting, let's see, at about verse 37. But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was just a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." In other words, asking the crowd to help him in this situation. And let me jump down to verse 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to the crowd, "Unbind him and let him go." Again, getting Lazarus' friends involved in the process of change, life change.
For me, that's a powerful thing in the scripture reading, because when we're in the stench in the tomb, and many of us are in these dark places, we feel like, well, that's the way I am. I have to endure this marriage. I don't know how to pick up this cross. I don't know how to walk out of the tomb. And we stay stuck, and we realize, well, how many times I hear confession, you know, Father, the same sin over and over. And I'm thinking, yeah, we can turn away, but we need to ask, what are you doing to get out of the tomb that you confess every
now, you mentioned five things, and I may have missed that. I got the first one, which is fear.
Let me tell you a powerful thing about fear. Fear, in a sense, the acronym for fear is false expectations appearing real. So here in the garden, God says, "Where are you?" And he's fueled with fear. Fear sets off the motion of a chain of events of the next four things. The next thing is, he became embarrassed and ashamed. How many people want to do wrong things, pornography, stealing, lying? They're ashamed and embarrassed that they did that, so they have to keep that lie. And that's what the devil wants. It wants us to stay lying and in the dark. And then after the shame and embarrassment, the third thing that happens is, it says, and they had to hide. They hid their private parts, but instead of our genitals, we hide things of our heart. God forbid if somebody really knows what's going on in my heart, because I'd be judged, and the shame and the fear is too much.
Okay.
Fourth thing that happens is we start lying. After we start lying, then we start blaming. You know, it's because I didn't have enough money, or because I had a rotten childhood. And as I started doing this work, fear and anxiety for me is basically two words, and depression is basically two words. And I see how we get stuck in the tomb.
So first is fear.
So fear, you go into shame and embarrassment.
Right.
Then what happens, the next thing that happens is you start hiding.
Hiding, that's
you don't
what
want to tell anyone. Because
okay.
God forbid if they know, and the people in our group, the ones that have done heroin, the time that they started the healing process is when they stopped hiding and they started telling people in the community the shame.
Okay, and then lying?
And then they start lying.
Blame?
And then they start blaming.
And then blaming. Wow. Very powerful, Father. Very powerful.
I think when you look at our kids, it's the same sequence. And I'm thinking, can we support people just to look at this process in any of those five places, slow down enough so we can back up
okay.
to the root of the fear and then allow God to heal with his love?
Well, clearly the story is not just about Christ and Lazarus. It takes place within the context of a family, namely his sisters, Mary and Martha,
yeah.
within that larger community. So go a little bit further for us. What can we learn from that?
Well, what we can learn from that is we want to keep the secret. We want to say, no, just don't bother. The Lord knows. So how many times have we been called to help out? How many times have we been asked to be available for somebody and we really don't know? We don't have the time, or we're not a therapist, or we're not a priest, and we quite don't know how. And I think just inviting the person to tell the story of the pain can be the beginning of healing. So in our families, what happens is we want to keep secrets. I know a family in one of the churches, in nearby churches, the person, the child is older, and the parents give them an allowance every month, and they're doing heroin.
Mm.
I can tell you that I'm getting calls more and more of the different addictions that go on in our church, and the person next to you, you wouldn't know it. Because we got to keep the lie, right? We got to
right.
stay in the tomb. We've got to suffocate and just endure life because we're embarrassed to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. finally, Father Tom, what does this teach us about our own potential to be resurrected? Maybe not from a physical death, but a spiritual death or a sickness.
Well, all I know is God created you and me in his image, and anything less to live that way would be a shame. And I think the hard thing is we live in a mediocre kind of way. So I think what it teaches me about me is, and for me, is that the body's connected to the heart, the heart's connected to the mind's connected. We're all interwound, so if we keep any secrets as Lazarus did, as he was exposed by Jesus, the secret was he's dead. You're dead somehow, Father Chris, and I am dead somehow. Who loves you and me enough to carry you to Christ and carry me to Christ so we can get out of the tomb
mm-hmm.
or roll away the stone that really keeps you from being fully awake and alive in Jesus Christ? So for me, what I realize is two things. For me, anxiety is as simple as two words, and depression is as simple as two words. If we don't respond to those with love, we're going to be dead in the tomb. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Fear keeps us from being present. Fear and love cannot coexist. So anxiety, which most people you see in your parish and everyone, pretty much everyone's dealing with, there's so many sleeping pills out there because we're so anxious we can't lay our head down in a peaceful pillow to rest. But it's the two words for anxiety is simply this: what if? What if I married the wrong person? What if I get cancer? What if everyone leaves my church?
Hmm.
What if I'm not a good priest? What if I say the wrong thing? What if the world comes to an end? What if? And then what happens, we allow the what-ifs to take off, fueled by the evil one and all its insidious responses to the what-if. And depression is almost as simple as this. And all you psychologists out there, whoever's hearing this, forgive me, but I don't want to bash you on the DSM-5 that has all these qualifications of dissociative personality, but I think it's rooted in those five steps of what happened in the garden. And the what if and if then. You ever hear that, Father?
Mm-hmm.
Depression is all set up in if then. If I didn't get raped, then I would be like this. If I had a better parent, I would be better off. If I had more money, then. If I went to another school, then. If I didn't marry him, then I would be this. If I didn't marry her, then I'd be, you know. So it's almost like we spend so much time in the future with anxiety with the what if question, or we get stuck in the past. And if then, we can't live in the moment. We're all no different than, at least I'm no different than, somebody who's struggling with any addiction. The new definition for me for addiction is anything I do or you do repetitively against your will that gets you into trouble.
Mm, very good. Father Tom, great to have you on the program.
So
thanks
good to be with you, Father Chris, and blessings to you on this Holy Week, and may we get out of the tombs that confine us and keep us from loving God.
Agreed. Agreed, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, again, I've only been able to feature a portion of this entire conversation between Father Chris and Father Tom, and if you'd like to hear the full interview, just go to our website at myocn.net, click on the Listen button, and then select Come Receive the Light, and you'll find the link to that entire interview right there on that page. That's myocn.net. And remember, we're a nonprofit outreach and would appreciate your financial participation if at all possible. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thanks, of course, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. Have a wonderful and blessed Easter weekend. And join us again next week if you can. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.